A scripture reading for this Lord's Day comes to us from the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah. I will be sharing with you chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and this is the Old Testament lectionary passage for today. And I love that it was shared with you during our Advent candle lighting this morning. I hope you hear it as familiar words now. And these words cannot be heard enough. So listen for the word of God, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Amen. Please be seated. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I have to say that I'm not personally much for reunions. And I'm talking about, you know, the college and the high school variety, where everyone gets together after years of being apart and they're secretly looking at each other and they're thinking about who now still has hair and who doesn't, or who has gained weight and who looks just like they did when, say, they were in high school. I know people that love reunions, and I think that is great. I'm just always worried that I will go and I will get stuck talking to someone who knew me as a teenager but then didn't give me the time of day, and all of a sudden now they act like we are just the best of friends, you know? Family reunions, though, on the other hand, I've enjoyed them, and they have much more of a significance in my life. As far as my extended family goes, my dad's family would have this great big, every so many years, family reunion in northern Minnesota at the old homestead where the Swedish ancestors came over in the 1800s and settled there. I mean, this area of the country, though, I go there and I feel like, oh my gosh, it feels kind of God forsaken. It's up close to Canada, and those winters have to be just so brutal. So I give people a lot of credit for still living in that area. But these family reunions have always been great experiences because they're a time to catch up with the descendants of my great-grandparents' 11 children. Yes, they had big families in those days. And most of all, it's so much fun to eat the wonderful old-style Swedish food. I mean, Swedish rice pudding and meatballs and lingonberries and cardamom buns. They're these wonderful rolls scented with cardamom. I can just taste them right now as I'm thinking about them. And then, of course, there's ostakaka. Now, ostakaka is actually cheesecake. It's like a cheesecake pudding done in a particular way. And I want you to notice, ost, O-S-T, cheese in Swedish. Paul, are you listening? Yes, yes. At one of the family reunions that my family was not able to go to, though, seems to have been something that no one should have missed, because we saw the pictures later, and one of the pictures that we saw was of this tableau of the oldest generation, all the old cousins getting together, and they come out of this historic farm, restored farmhouse, wearing blue, sky blue rectangles that had on them the crossing stripes of yellow, and this was called the Living Swedish Flag. The Living Swedish Flag. Now, Swedes aren't known for a lot of outward emotion. I mean, they're pretty contained people, and they don't, you know, do the loud guffaws or laugh until tears are streaming down their faces. But this moment in my family's history had to have been epic, as they say today. It must have been marvelous. Well, when I looked at that picture, Living Swedish Flag, I thought, I'm actually related to those people. Ah. And yet in my heart of hearts, I knew there was no denying it. One of the things, the best things about family reunions is that unspoken connection that then becomes living and ever-present when you're together. And you realize that connection always exists, no matter where people in the world live or no matter what part of the country. It's just always there, day to day to day. Connection with each other is just fundamentally there no matter what. And when people get together, they don't reinvent it like reinventing the wheel. I mean, the prefix R-E, right, in reunion, is simply a reminder to go back to the original state. The original state of union that has always existed, and yet to go back to it in a very new type of way. I mean, you may have experienced this when you had Thanksgiving and tables were just laden with all kinds of scrumptious food and you were connecting again with family and friends and it felt like you had never really been physically apart. So think of all the wonderful words, right, that begin with R-E. Renew, redeem, restore, remember, relive, refresh, and recreate, reinvigorate. I mean, there's always that sense of not starting from scratch, but going back to what was and still somehow is, and going back to it in a brand new way. So how beautiful it is for me to be back with you in the sense of reunion. And I can't wait to tell you about how I spent my sabbatical, and you will be hearing about that in maybe weeks to come as we continue our journey together. And yes, I want to catch up on all of you and how you spent the time we were apart. But what I love about this reunion is, you know, there's no doubt in me that while we were apart, we're still united, right? Today, we are just reaffirming that original state that never went away because I wasn't physically here or physically with you. And of course, we are reaffirming it with a sense of newness to it. And every time we come to this communion table, it is reunion time. We aren't creating being united from scratch. We always carry each other in our hearts, no matter where we are, no matter where we go. We always can celebrate the unity that has always been the case. So our scripture reading from Isaiah for the first Sunday of Advent, it reminds us that all human beings are meant to exist in a way that celebrates their connection with one another, and not in a way that highlights all these perceived differences, you know, divisions and differences that really just amount to likes and dislikes, traditions and heritages, differences in wants and desires, goals and expectations, beliefs and opinions. Think about it. Is there anyone whose blood does not run red in their veins? Is there anyone that doesn't have to quell their hunger or drink to satisfy their thirst? Is there anyone who wasn't born as a vulnerable, precious baby dependent on their caretakers? Is there anyone who hasn't experienced physical pain in their lives and emotional trials or even traumas? This passage that was composed so very, very long ago, it's the needed aspiration that we need. I mean, the pictures of an inclusive stream of people going up the highest mountain, the mountain of God. The picture's a radical one, because warring nations are going up the same mountain together. And even those who stood against Israel are even going up the mountain together steadily. Egyptians and Assyrians and Canaanites, all going together. Talk about reunion. Talk about this wonderful homecoming. They are all about reunion. And that reunion demands they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation does not lift up sword against nation. They no longer learn war. What is described here, okay, isn't to be seen as some kind of aberration from the normal or some kind of diversion from the status quo. We are to understand that this is to be considered normal. This is business as usual in the presence of God. We are talking about the vision of a big old family reunion of the known world at that time. And we are talking about God's deep desire for the world at this time. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we begin our journey. And we begin our journey to the Christmas story, which is an inclusive story. I mean, we talk then about the Holy Family experiencing being outsiders because the insiders don't welcome them. But we learn that Jesus is born in a stable and in a manger so that no matter what, there is a place for all in God's realm. And then we learn of the foreigners, right, coming, the wise men, coming to the manger side, and they are welcomed as the other, the stranger, being embraced in the Holy Family's midst. This past week, I read about a very interesting happening Witnesses say that last weekend, a very impressive Thanksgiving dinner, turkey with all the trimmings, was laid out on a table. The table was covered with a tablecloth in the middle of a subway train, the L train that was bound for Brooklyn. Now, apparently, then the meal was offered to all the strap hangers. Everybody get their plates, sit down and eat, a woman called. Can you imagine boarding a subway train, looking down maybe on your phone, and all of a sudden looking up and seeing this event going on? A woman was handing out food and said it was an inclusive gesture and no one should go without food on Thanksgiving. They got all the people on the train smiling, and they were handing out food to everyone, just having a great time, someone reported when they got off the train. Of course, not everyone praised the event. Some said it was disgusting to eat all that food on a subway train where the air is filled with diesel fumes. Yeah. Others felt like it was a made-for-Instagram moment. The official word is that the MTA is looking into who orchestrated the whole event. But no matter what, it feels like there's a parable of sorts in all of this. I mean, can't you imagine Jesus saying, "And the kingdom of God is like a Thanksgiving family feast, randomly appearing on the L train, made available to all simply because all belong to the one human family, no matter who they are. One table, one community, one humanity." You know, we think about coming together where the differences melt and fears subside and unity prevails over all and wins out over all. And we think about how far from that ideal we kind of are in our day-to-day living of our lives. And yet I'm reminded of the wonderful, wonderful words of the African-American Baptist preacher and theologian, Howard Thurman. Words that speak of the glory we are always called to. Howard Thurman once said this: "A crown is placed over heads that for the rest of our lives we are trying to grow tall enough to wear." Real unity in all things is like a crown placed over our heads, that for the rest of our lives we are trying to grow tall enough to wear. May God bless us in our growing throughout this Advent season, and are growing in the days to come after that. Amen. Oh God, we live and move in your presence, and you call us to the fact that we are one. Help us live into that fact in ways small and in ways great. Help us as we seek to be your people in this time, in our lives, in the special places you call us to. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.